superheroes of our church. They provide a space for safe discussion, and it is incredibly fun to be a part of this. It's been serving to move our church closer to what we like to call a home church hybrid model. And it's facilitating just closer knit relationships and community. And I love it. And it's so good to love what you do. One of the things that I've become known for in my friend circle, at least, is my relationship with a nonprofit called Freedom Movement. I remember the first time I was introduced to this organization because I like cried my eyes out for an hour straight sitting in the back of a classroom at this like very unemotional actually whiteboard presentation on the effects that trauma has on our brains. And at the time I was struggling with severe anxiety and panic attacks. And let me just say, I'm not really sure why we phrase things this way, because the truth is I was not struggling with anxiety and panic attacks, I was succeeding at them. Like, I was really good at anxiety, like maybe the best, and I don't mean to brag. But these panic attacks, they were actually somewhat new to me. I've always been a deep thinker and an internal processor, and somewhere around my mid to late 20s, this process turned to worry. And the worry grew to anxiety, and it turns out that ignoring anxiety often results in panic attacks. Again, who knew? So sitting in the back of this classroom, staring at a drawing of the different areas of our brain that are being drawn out by the person in the front, this woman was explaining the transformation that actually happens to our neural pathways when we carry unresolved trauma with us. And the entire room was dry, at least compared to my experience, right? This seemed like some sort of a science class to everyone else that was there. Like, there were people with their fist underneath their chin, you know, to indicate that they're thinking really deeply about what's going on. And there were people that were just furiously taking notes, like they were going to be tested later. And here I am sitting there with just streams of tears coming down my face for 40 minutes straight. And it's not even like I was ugly crying. Like, there was very little emotion that I felt in the moment, but it was like someone had turned the bathroom faucet on low, and I just had these streams of tears running down my face the entire time. And I realized that what was happening in that moment was, for the very first time in a long time, I felt seen. And I knew in that moment that I wasn't crazy. The things that were happening just barely underneath the surface of my life, the anxiety, the depression, the panic attacks that I was experiencing, they were actually scientific. And what's really wild is that my brain's response of initiating those panic attacks was actually intended to protect me. This new phenomenon I had been experiencing that I was so embarrassed about, to be honest, as a faith leader in my community, because I didn't understand them. They were my brain's way of informing me that something was not well and that I needed good care. And so I will spare you the psychology terms that honestly I can barely pronounce and just tell you this. Our brains are wired to create safety and belonging for us. And so when we've been in repeated situations that tell us that we are not safe or we don't belong, either emotionally or physically, there are certain areas of your brain that change, they rewire, they shut down from their intended purpose, and they go into survival mode. And it is in this survival mode brain that oftentimes, as humans, we get ourselves into really sticky situations, because it's the survival mode that limits our capacity to make good decisions. Like, literally, your prefrontal cortex will shut down once you've hit this wall, and it causes us to see everything unknown as a threat, which often causes disconnection, shame, and even more anxiety. And so since this experience of learning about my brain and its relationship to shame and anxiety, I've started to even approach Bible reading in such a different way. I've spent time reading familiar Bible passages through the lens of understanding that God created my brain. He created our emotions to help us to get specific needs met and to function in very specific ways. And I read through the Psalms now, and I marvel even more at the depth of David's convictions and his confessions at his comfort with grief and with anger, his full display of humanity. I read scriptures like Proverbs 20, verse 5, which says, "The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw them out." And I'm reminded that God knows how deeply complex my heart and emotions are. He puts a high value on self-awareness and inner work. And this new understanding, which actually isn't very new, as it turns out, it causes me to even wonder about the creation story, right? The experience that Adam and Eve had in the garden in Genesis after the first sin, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree that they weren't supposed to, they realized they would have to face God that evening. And what did they do? They hid. They covered up. Their first reaction in the aftermath of the original sin was to cover up, to avoid connection, to try to pretend as if things were not as they seemed. And I personally think that maybe, just maybe, Adam and Eve had these same shame sirens go off in their brains, telling them to hide after they ate from the forbidden tree in the garden, because the shame that they experienced after their sin, it caused their brains maybe to go into survival mode, like we know from science that our brains do now, which resulted in attempted isolation, because their brains now saw God as a threat. And that's why I believe that when the Bible says that this tree held the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't some magical tree. The magic was actually in the way that God designed our brains to respond to shame triggers like disobedience. It's completely possible that Adam and Eve's brains got rewired that day as a means to protect them from the unknown repercussions of sin and from disconnection with their creator. And so I think personally, it's possible that the tree didn't hold the physical knowledge of good and evil, but now their brains did. And their neural pathways were likely rewired that day because they were now capable of experiencing disconnection from God. And how scary. And I hope that even the seasoned saints in the room this morning can lean in this morning and next week to hear me out, because the focus of mental health and faith it's not a fad. It's not a thing that's just for the next generation. See, God created our brains. He created them with specific functions. And this new science, or this new way of the church being willing to lean into the science of our brains as a means to understand how God created us to function and thrive, this is a conversation that I believe we are all being invited into. Seasoned saints, we actually need you in this conversation too. In all of your wisdom, in all of your experience, because the truth is that you carry a mantle that the next generation needs to learn from. And you participating in these conversations, it brings immense healing and honor to the generations behind you. And what is incredibly beautiful and restorative about the way that God created our brains to function is that they are malleable. They can change. And when we allow ourselves to experience truly safe spaces, when you experience those kinds of people where when you're just around them, their generosity of words feels like a warm hug to your wounded soul, it actually releases chemicals in your brain that allow you to open up those previously closed off spaces that hold stories of harm. And our brains can now experience a rewiring back to a healthier functioning. And it's by these intentional and repeated practices of good care that our neurons can create new pathways and new habits of health and safety can successfully be reformed for us. So how do we become these safe spaces for others? How do we become a safe space for ourselves? And I think the question for many of us this morning might even be, does God feel like a safe space to me? Can I trust him implicitly despite all of the bad things that have happened in my life? And if he doesn't feel safe, how do we heal this? The grossly oversimplified answer to all of these questions is connection. Connections that transform us. And it's through learning how to connect to ourselves, learning how to connect to God, in learning how to receive connection and attunement from others, that we actually become a safe place for the broken and the hurting in this world. Attunement is having our emotional needs met by experiencing the empathy or action of other humans on our behalf. Attunement is having our emotional needs met by experiencing the empathy or action of other humans on our behalf. Now, attunement is actually a very important key to evangelism that many of us have unfortunately lost grasp of because we don't really value the art of holding and honoring story or of creating spaces for connections that can transform. And maybe we do value story, right? And we do value connection, but we just don't know how to practice it in our daily lives. So we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to continue to build a case for connection and attunement. If you have your Bible with you on an app or in paper, old school, turn to Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation in verse 26. This is the creation account. God has spent time creating the earth and everything in it for us to enjoy. And finally, he says in verse 26, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. God exists in community. He always has. God has never existed alone. He has always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is a foundational part of who he is to be community. And not only that, but God created us within this community of himself to mirror his image. God created us in community, and we have had connection with God in the garden. When you read through the first three chapters of Genesis, you see that Adam and Eve walked in the garden in the evenings with the Lord. They hung out. They spent time together. And I can just imagine the sweetness of some of those conversations. But shame eventually caused Adam and Eve to hide from God. And they built a barrier made out of fig leaves to hide, to protect themselves against being seen and being known by him. And then in Genesis chapter 2, if you'll flip over to Genesis chapter 2 and just look at verses 18 through 25. We're not going to read them all, but in these verses, God created Adam and Eve. God had created Adam, but this is actually before Eve had been introduced, right? And so God said to himself, it is not good for man to be alone. And so God created Eve to be a helpmate for Adam. And verse 26 says that they were naked and unashamed. They were fully vulnerable with each other. And this vulnerability was deemed good for us. So God created us for connection. He created us with a need for other humans. And he created community for us. God created us with needs that he chose not to meet himself. Because God, in all of his goodness and authority, I am sure that he could have just as easily created Adam and Eve to have all of their needs met by only himself. And that would have been very simple. But he didn't do that. God created Adam with needs that he purposefully would not meet because God wanted us to meet each other's needs for connection and for attunement. God gave us to each other. And here in the West, we feel very comfortable and safe and independent and entertained. And also, we feel pretty lonely most of the time. We serve a communal God who has always existed in community, who created us in community, who gave us to each other and designed our faith to grow in community. Verses 11 and 12 of 1 John chapter 4 say this, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and the love and his love is brought to full expression in us. Did you know that it is impossible to experience the fullness of God's love in isolation? Sure, you can have connection with God and should. That is intimately yours. Communion with God and an intimate time spent with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is so vital And also, we will never be able to experience the fullness of God's love without being in community, without loving others well. Because God is community, and we were made to be discipled by connection. God created connection to disciple us. Fellowship with God is directly related to our fellowship with each other, and we just aren't made to do spiritual lives alone. And I want to ask you this. What has your relationship with connection been like in your life? Because for most of us, there are definitely moments of intense joy, of goodness, of belonging. And then there are also those moments of deep pain. And there are those moments of confusion and sometimes abuse that leads us to shame, to anxiety, and to fear. And this morning, as I invite you on this journey with me of connections that transform us, I am aware of two things. Number one is that people make up the best parts of life. And number two is that people make up the most painful parts of life. And we are absolutely built for this. And I suspect that if we decide to go all in on building rich, impactful, healthy, and vibrant community connections, our worst fears might come true and we are going to get hurt. And I also believe that the best possible outcomes will be revealed through choosing to invest in purposeful relationships and connections that can transform us. Because I've seen with my own eyes how attunement, empathy, and focused listening can transform someone's life within a matter of moments, especially when the Holy Spirit is in the midst of all of it. Because the antidote for shame, addiction, and isolation, it's not obedience. It's connection. Connection is the most transformative substance that we have available to us here on earth. It's what makes us feel known and loved, which is a core longing for each person. And it's what helps us find safety and belonging. Connection defies shame and provides a healing balm for trauma because it cultivates a place for safe exposure, for empathy, and for curiosity. And connection has been under attack since Eden. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 21 say, "For even the whole creation, all of nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hopes that the creation itself will also be freed from its bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God." And I know enough about the heart and the core values of this church to know that you put a high value on connection here at Northgate. I do not have to stand here and convince you that community is good for us. In fact, the way I see Northgate serving your community, the family events that I see you host, the conversational style that I see you embracing in many of your services, I know that I am not challenging you in a new concept here. You know how powerful authentic connection is. And still, for many of us, we have this push and pull relationship with it in our own lives. Because maybe connection with others hasn't always been a safe part of our stories. In fact, some connections we've experienced have been harmful. Many of us grew up in homes where connections with our caregivers was conditional. Some of us grew up in homes where connections with our caregivers was actually abusive. And many of us have been hurt in friendships where other people have done us wrong, and many of us have been friends who have done the wrong thing and hurt others, let's be honest. And so when this happens, without good care, we construct walls. We shy away from connection. We isolate, making sure that no one can see enough of us to harm us, shame us, or reject who we are. But this actually, it's not keeping us from pain. It's just putting us in a different kind of pain. And it's not working. Because without good care and safe curiosity around these places and our stories that seem to keep us stuck, we're settling for the covering of fig leaves and hoping that others aren't able to recognize just how broken we feel on the inside. And I'm here to tell you, we cannot heal what we're hiding. It doesn't matter whether it is a secret sin, a secret wound, or even just a seemingly random childhood story that's causing our nervous system to experience distress. We need the presence and attunement of others in order to fully heal. It is not good for man to be alone. As an introvert and as a hardcore Enneagram 5, I hate this truth. But it is the truth. It is something that I challenge myself in often. In fact, the one thing I've been learning over and over again over the past few years that I've been on this journey is that whatever is hurt in community is going to need to be healed in community. We see that when we understand the context of verses like Galatians 6:2. Galatians is talking all about how to meet together as a body of Christ, how to support the body and be a community. And Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ." And I want to pose this question to you, church. What if we began to view even the Great Commission as less about creating converts to Christianity and more about creating communities where human hearts that could connect and thrive together? Because I personally think that the work that we are all called to do and being invited into, it's more about exposing ourselves and others to the love of God than it is about focusing on obedience and moral perfection. So if we really do believe that we are the church, that you are the church, and that we were created for community, then I want to challenge us today to posture our hearts to become sanctuaries and safe places for the stories of others to be held. And in order to do that, we actually have to become a safe place and a sanctuary for our own story first. Because not only has God created us to take part in his restorative process of bringing heaven down to earth, but we actually need the attunement and the attention of other humans in order to be healed and fully restored ourselves. God designed us to need each other in this way. And we were created for safe exposure with others to be a part of the healing process here on earth, which our brains are wired to enter into through attunement. We are storied people. You can easily see that just in the narrative of so much of the Old Testament, and even in the ways that Jesus spoke to his disciples was also through story. And we ourselves, we hold stories, lots of them. Some of them hold memories of joy and goodness. Some of them are stories of the best days of our lives. And some are colder, darker. They don't get told as often because they're confusing, they're sad, or they hurt. And I believe that we are being invited in to let ourselves be seen and known, to create a space of depth within our own stories, from our happiest moments to our deepest moments of pain, because we cannot possibly take others farther than we are willing to be ministered to in ourselves. We are invited to go inward, to find the dark places that have caused harm, to ask Jesus to be the one who illuminates them, and to let him and his Holy Spirit tend to those places in us. And this is going to mean sitting with ourselves in the discomfort so that we can then be trained to sit with others in their emotions. And not rushing in to find the silver lining, not rushing in to offer a hopeful distraction, but to just make sure that all of the darkness, all of the pain points that exist inside of us gets seen, and all of the harm that happened to us gets named and gets held. And that's what brings hope. We are so afraid of going back to our past and digging into these dark stories of pain because we think that if we open up this wound that it will never shut again. But the truth is that it is already existing and creating havoc, oftentimes in our hearts without our permission. We were created for communion with God. We were created for Eden, to be known by him, to be loved by him. And what Jesus does when we take the time and we intentionally stop to honor our own stories and the pain points we've experienced is he bends down to the earth with us, often through another person. And he wants to patiently sort through these things that we carry that are walling us off from connection. My pain, my regret, my sin, my concern for the things that don't seem to be going right in my life. The dark places in my own childhood that stir up haunting memories, or my avoidance to do the things that I know are ultimately good for me. And so many other soundtracks that seem to plague my mind on any given week. And as I sit on the floor of my home office, typically, with just a candle for light, it is a worshipful act of intimacy to let Jesus in, to see the things that I have kept hidden, to show him the burdens that I carry, and to let him tell me how loved and accepted I already am. And I don't have to carry this weight around with me in order to be accepted or worthy. I don't have to pretend like the experiences I had 5 years ago still don't affect me. I don't have to hide who I am at all. And it's beautiful. His love and his attention, this connection, it is absolutely transformational. And we are called to carry this type of attunement with us into the world. It becomes this mantle that we carry. And it's through this deep personal work that we actually become a safe place for others. In 1 Peter 2:5, scripture says, "You are living stones that God is building into his temple. What's more, you are his holy priests." We are called to be sanctuaries, temples, safe and holy places where God's spirit can dwell and where the stories of others can be held and tended to. And we cannot offer to the world what we don't already possess with God and us. I don't recommend attempting to be a safe place for others if you have not first done the work to establish a safe and loving connection with yourself and God. Because God's aim is to create a sanctuary space for you and him. You are actually his prized possession. It's why you were created. It's why he sent his son to reestablish connection with you. His whole goal has always been to welcome you home, all the way back home. We are temples. Not only are you created in God's image, but your soul is designed to house his spirit. You are designed for communion with a God who knows you and loves every part of you. He stands at the door and knocks, but he isn't barging in. His intent is to create safety and belonging for you so that you don't just feel exposed in your sin or dysfunction, but you feel seen and loved and known. He is neither your accuser nor your excuser. God isn't mad at you. He is mad about you. And that sanctuary space inside of you, it will begin as it grows, as we tend to it. It will begin to serve as a conduit of connection for every other relationship in your life. And we have the opportunity of investing into this work, but first for ourselves. We are meant to pour out from a deep well of connection with a God who is good and kind and who loves us well. And we're not able to do this when we're stuck in our survival mode brain, avoiding connection in exchange for shame. Although I think it's really important for us to learn to be filled with compassion or empathy for ourselves when that's our reality, because it's nothing that you chose for yourself. There is absolutely a reason why we avoid connection with him. There is absolutely a lie that we are believing that separates us. And God wants to find that spot in your story to reestablish that safety and connection with you, but he will not bypass what happened to you to get there. He's going to go through it with you. So is there a spot in your story that feels unhealed? Maybe a memory from the past that your brain likes to remind you of in times of distress or crisis. And how do we cultivate a connection with him that will bring the kind of attunement that turns the ashes of our past into this beautiful tapestry filled with connection points with the Father who knows us and loves us well? It's through the doorways of safety, exposure, and curiosity. It is attunement. And I want to invite you into a practice of this in your own time, which might mean in this next week or it might mean in this next winter. This is not some sort of band-aid that you just need to rip off and get over with. This is a lifelong process of creating small connections that go deeper and deeper into the sanctuary spaces inside of us. So for some of us, this means plan a hike with a journal in hand. Go for a walk or plan a camping trip and pour your heart out before your Creator. And then, this is the important part, and then sitting in a listening posture to receive his love back for you. For some of you, this will look like many small moments, milliseconds in your day of saying, God, are you seeing this too? Every time the anxiety or the shame or the anger reappears, and then setting aside time to talk with him alone all about it. Maybe in your car in the driveway at the end of the night where most of us stop and take that 30-minute breather away from the house, right? And for some of us, this means reading through the Psalms, journaling about the emotions that get brought up for you, even noticing the judgment that might get brought up for you at the extreme emotion that's displayed there, and wondering and being curious about this and letting God into the parts of your heart that have been walled off, because maybe you've believed that God only wants the happy and positive thoughts in your prayer time, and this just isn't true. This is your permission to practice naming the hard emotions out loud. And next Sunday, I will be back with you guys again, and we're going to discuss what it means to be a modern-day sanctuary, how to build that healthy connection with ourselves, with God, and with others. And we're going to close this service in a few moments if the worship team wants to come back up. They're going to play some more songs to just facilitate more connection with a good and loving God. We're going to enter into a time of communion together. And I love how intentional this must be, because communion is just another word for connection. It means sharing or exchanging intimate thoughts or feelings. It is a holy act of worship to share your intimate thoughts and feelings with a powerful God who knows and loves you. So we're going to invite you up to come and take communion in your own time. And as you do that this morning, let this serve as a connection with God that transforms you. Thank you, guys.